Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Price.
Next time you're gonna get my hopes up, could you please take me to a grease monkey? Cause I like to get lubed up before I get
James.
Say what?
And special commentary by Samantha.
Do you feel me inside of you?
Not another podcast.
I'm sorry, I saw a portion of it. I saw, like, the main portion.
I have not seen the full thing, but yeah. I've seen enough of it to talk about it. And since we're talking about it, this is the show, guys!
Oh my gosh, guys!
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James. Over there is Samantha. I figure, you know what? I'm going to start doing the introductions now, because there's less chance of people fucking it up.
But it's so much fun for you to get frustrated about it.
And that's why I'm going to do the introductions from now on.
We're just going to talk over you then.
Yeah, pretty much. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to record the open before any of us get on, and then I'm just going to have it.
You're like, that way they'll never screw
they'll
with me.
They'll never fuck it up again. I am a genius.
And okay. Our whole two fans already know our voices, so it's fine.
Well, people confuse Danny and Bryce all the time, so no one cares. So, yeah, it is just me and Samantha today. It's kind of weird because it feels like I'm just going through you guys now one at a time. Because last week it was me and Bryce, which was cool. We got to hang out and catch up because his life has taken him off onto, you know, exciting new adventures. And so he and I don't get to talk very much, just the two of us anymore. And anytime I talk to you, Samantha, it's usually with everyone else here. So yep. This is kind of cool. So next week, no one's going to be on except for Danny. And
I'll
talk
just
to
make
him
sure to
all
not
the
be available.
Time. Well, maybe your boyfriend won't be sick.
Yeah, right? Sure. How inconsiderate of him.
I know. It's a holiday. You both have the day off, and he gets sick.
We had dinner plans.
What a jerk.
Which is mostly just, hey, let's have dinner tomorrow. Okay. That was the extent of our plans.
I hear McDonald's is open. Yay!
Well, I mean, it is at the White House. So I'll just show up there and eat.
Yeah, get yourself some good hamburgers.
Yep, those hamburgers are delicious. Okay, there's one of my new favorite memes. It's this guy in the Wendy's outfit.
Oh, yeah?
And it just says, welcome to the White House. Fuck you want. And I was like, oh, my God. I was laughing so hard. And I was sharing it to all my friends, and I was like, this is not getting near as much laughter as it should be.
I have had much fun with his tweets and all the news press that came out of that whole thing. Because it's like, number one, he clearly does not – he's never played sports at all. Because he would know – I've never played sports, and I know that an athlete can't eat all that crap. and one of the guys was there saying, like, oh, our nutritionist is going to be so mad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't really – like, it's more of a funny story than anything, like, you know, serious or bad. I don't really care that
it's
what happened. But
it's sad.
It is a little sad, but it's so funny. To me. And I'm just like, you know, you go to the White House and you expect this gorgeous dinner, but then everyone's furloughed or, you know, not able to work because
they're
not getting paid.
See,
so,
I wouldn't even expect like a gorgeous dinner. I just expect something more than what I can go down the street for. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
I mean, quarter pounders and Big Macs. Why would I go to the White House for that? I'll jump in my fucking car and go down the street and order that. And I'll get a drink with it because apparently there were no drinks. They had burgers, fries, chicken McNuggets. They used the goddamn gravy boats to pile up the sauces for the McNuggets in.
Oh, geez. And all the candelabras.
They had pizza. But nowhere were there any drinks.
I think someone else pointed that out, too, and I can't remember who it was. Was it Stephen Colbert?
I don't know, but I've been pointing it out all week. It's like, did he not spring for drinks, at least?
I mean, he's always got Coke, doesn't he? Not, like, the sniffy Coke, but, like,
well,
the drink
no,
Coke.
The president has Diet Coke, but No one else gets anything.
No one else gets any. That's why there were no drinks. That's the only thing that's in the refrigerator. He's like, no, no one can drink this. Only
Those
I
are my
can.
Diet Cokes.
Only my palate is sophisticated Not enough even, to break it down.
Not even Melania touches the second shelf, which is where I keep all my Diet Cokes and all my stubbled stuffed Oreos.
I think you mean Melanie. Oh, no, wait. It is Melania. Is it Melanie or I don't even
it
know.
It might be Melody.
I hate one of them.
I'm not really sure.
Are you doing the hand motions too?
I can't yes! do the voice without the hand motions.
I can't either. I know. One of my favorite gifts that, or one of my favorite things that ever came out was the accordion. Someone took a bunch of Trump videos and pasted in an accordion between his hands. And it's just the funny to me. It was so funny.
Can I just tell you how jealous I am right now of Steve Carell?
Why?
Okay, so you'll remember it wasn't that long ago. Trump was rallying people to build Space Force. My writing partner and I had the best time coming up with all kinds of Space Force stuff. We were going to make a radio drama that was Space Force. Mm-hmm. And it was going to star General Captain Admiral Trump. And everyone had to address him the full General Captain Admiral. So, and it was always going to start with a Space Force date. Blah, 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 blah. The funniest we had was General Captain Admiral's log, star date. Tuesday. It feels like a Tuesday. Let's go with Tuesday, because I'm not really sure how this Space Force thing works. So, and it was just this whole thing that we had come up with all these characters. The starship was going to be the starship Mar-a-Lago. And we had a bunch of the Republicans were going to be in it. And he was going to be fighting the bad hombres.
Oh, I just had an idea. I'm so sorry. For, like, infringement or some sort of purposes, instead of Mar-a-Lago, it should be, like, Starship More of Loggins. Like, just something sounds super close. I was like, More of Loggins. That would be funny.
We just didn't even care, and I don't think we would have been sued for anything.
No, I don't think it would have either, but I just...
But the enemy was going to be... The hordes of Marzikins crossing the space border.
Nah.
So,
oh, those Marzikins.
Apparently, there is a Twitter account for Space Force Trump.
Yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, they, I think they stole from us, but I'm not sure. Anyway, so
well,
Steve
Carell.
Well, you
did put it out there on a podcast without copywriting it first, so.
So Steve Carell, because he's famous and he knows more people, is doing a Netflix show called Space Force.
What?
I am not even joking. This came out the other day. I was ripping my hair out. I was so mad. Like, son of a bitch, Steve Carell stole our idea. And yeah, so on Netflix, I'm not sure when, but there's going to be Space Force.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
I tell you, if there's Marzikins in it, I'm suing.
You're like, listen to the date of this podcast. And Steve Carell's going to be like, here's my journal from like 2 years ago. And I'm like, fuck.
Are you kidding? Steve's got so much money. He's just, here's some hush money. Shut down.
Yeah, right.
Watch the show.
Or like, we'll just give you a writing credit.
You know, maybe he'd just bring me on as a writer.
Hell yeah, that'd be awesome. And then through you is my way to get into Hollywood as an actress.
There
we go.
See?
It's all gravy. Just a voice actor is all I really want to be.
We'll put you in a bunch of space makeup, and you can be a Marzikin.
Yes.
You can be Queen Minstrata.
Queen Marstrata.
Marstrata.
Queen Marstrata.
Copyright. Not another podcast. 2019.
Do you watch The Orville?
I do. I love The Orville.
Me too. I really do.
It is
but
the greatest
I'm watching
show.
The Orville. I'm watching The Orville and I'm going, oh my god, it's Universe Journey, which is Radio Hour's, you know, spoof of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Not spoof, but like it's our loving homage. So I was like, Seth MacFarlane, damn you! This is Universe Journey!
So, like, speaking of parodies, my writing partner Travis and I, we do the Misfits with James and Travis on KPAM every Sunday, 4 to 6. And I haven't been able to announce that. We talked about off the air a few weeks ago, but it's official. We've had two shows. And this week we are introducing a brand new television show that I know you will be interested in, Samantha, because you were a big fan of the original. We are doing a show called Sons of Mediocrity. I'm going to let that sink in for a little bit.
Oh, Anarchy. Sons of Anarchy.
There you go.
I was like, what? What are you talking about? Oh.
There is a good 10 seconds there where you're trying to figure that out.
So, well, I was thinking of Idiocracy.
It's kind of, yeah. So.
And I was like, but that was a movie. What show is he talking about?
So we just cut the promo today, put it together. It's, and not to toot my own horn, but I'm going to. It's freaking hilarious.
Amazing.
So it is a motorcycle gang in everything but the fact that they ride motorcycles and are badasses. They are a scooter club.
Oh.
So
I love it.
Yeah, if you like the idea, please tune in to KPAM this Sunday and you can hear Sons of Mediocrity debut. We've got tons of ideas we're going to do it as like commercials for the upcoming show because we can't put together an hour show. I mean, we could, but so, yeah. And that actually leads me into, because we were talking just before, you and I are both writers and we're both procrastinators to the nth degree.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
We're both trying to commit to writing more. And we were discussing off the air all the things we would do to avoid sitting down to write.
It's terrible. I will start cleaning my house
before
I start writing, and I'm like, damn it. I'm like, dogs, do you guys need to go outside? They were just out, and I'm like, oh, let's go again.
I know we just came in, but...
But that means I have to stare at my blank computer screen, so let's go again!
I will just...
Stop, -3 degrees outside.
I will think of anything and everything. I will go work out.
See, that's the crazy part. Is like, I'll write to avoid working out. I'll go work out to avoid writing. And I just... Oh. But do you have a designated space in your home to write?
I wish I did, but our home is so small that it's like we literally have two rooms in our house.
Yeah.
It's like it's a studio apartment with a bedroom just tacked on.
That's pretty much the same issue I run into. You know, it's just me and my two dogs. I've got, you know, I've just got the basic rooms. I've got one bedroom, you know, bathroom, kitchen, and there's a laundry room, living room. And my wonderful boyfriend got me a very nice lap desk, 2 Valentine's days ago. Or was it last Valentine's? Oh, it was on a Valentine's Day. I think it was last year. But I have this very nice writing desk, you know, lap desk. But I don't have a designated space to be. And I use my dogs as a procrastination crutch all the time. Like, they're my procrastination trigger. I can't write. I've got She-Ra across my lap. Or Essie wants to go outside, you know. And I'm like, I love my dogs. And I feel so bad, you know, kicking them off of me. Because they're such snuggly little boogers. And I'm like, no, guys, come on. I have stuff to... Oh, you're sleeping. Okay, fine. You can stay there. And then it's like 3 hours later. And I'm like... And then my day's gone and I'm a terror. And then I'm like, oh, I should eat before I start writing. Brain power. And then...
Yeah, and then you never... Yeah.
Then the day is gone.
Yeah, I will do anything. The problem is what I need to do is have a computer that is not hooked up to the internet or anything else. It's just for...
And keep your phone out of the room.
Yeah, because it's like I get on the computer and I will pull up the document and start writing. And then it's like, oh, I need to look this up because I need to research. And then four hours later, wasn't I writing?
Yep. you get down that clickbait rabbit hole or that YouTube wormhole, and you're like, shit, my day
well,
is over.
I'm
no,
on
I do the
internet.
Exact same thing. I need to research this. I need to know. Oh.
And you know what else is on the internet? YouTube.
Yeah.
I need some music so I can write. Oh, I've never seen this video before.
Yeah.
It's, I am the worst. I am just the worst.
I need to go elsewhere to write. Like, Ryan writes as well. And we will go and do, like, writing dates where we will take our computers and be all cute and pretentious at a coffee shop and we'll write. And, like, that's our date. You know, we'll have coffee, some dessert, and we'll go write.
You know, but it's really funny that you mentioned that because when I started writing and did the most writing I've ever done was I would go to Bree's work when I was unemployed through her whole shift, and I would spend like the first 2 hours because we didn't have internet at home, so I would spend like the first 2 hours sending out resumes and stuff, and then I had another 6 hours with nothing to do, and all I did was write. For like 2.5 years, I wrote so much. And then I got a job, and it was like, well, fuck this writing crap. I don't need this. I got a job now!
See, if I would like this writing crap to be my job.
I'm in the same place now. Because now it's like... now it's tougher for me to write for myself because I spend so much time now at my job writing. But it's fun writing because, like I said, we're writing new bits and commercial, funny commercials and things like that. And that's fun. We're having fun. We're laughing and stuff. So then I get home and the last thing I want to do is write anything.
Well, if you guys are ever stuck and you want to use some radio hour stuff, just, you know, I know a person. I can hook you up for, you know.
So, yeah, pass me their number and I will promptly ignore it.
Cool. Sounds good.
I will have my people call your people to get in contact with their people.
And then we'll set up a meeting that'll get moved around and canceled 10 times. But I mean, we always, like, procrastinators, we always make it sound like we never get anything done, but we do.
Oh, yeah, we do. It's just,
you know,
not in a timely fashion at all.
Right. I work better with a deadline. And I work pretty good under pressure.
Yeah. I would say I'm similar, but not, you know, if I know there's a deadline, I'll get stuff done early. But if it's my own stuff, there's never a deadline.
Yeah, that's what I feel about, because there is some things that I'm writing for myself. I have things that, like, my friends and I are starting a web series that I'm so excited about, but we're going to write the series first before we start filming.
Yeah.
But getting everyone together is a bitch.
Oh, yeah. When you work with more than one person, I mean, look at this podcast. I mean, we have 4 regulars, and it is super – it's not super rare, but it's really awesome when the 4 of us, our schedules all line up and we can do this. What's funny is we have the same date and time that we record. But just, I mean, stuff happens. Look at today. Bryce had stuff. Danny had stuff. You almost had stuff. It was almost me going, well, I guess I should write.
Yep. Well, here we are, procrastinating again. And, like, last week I was really sick, so I had no voice. And I had to perform Saturday for Radio Hour with very little voice. And that, I mean, I did what I had to do, but whoo. And then I was on, like, this performer's high, and we had our holiday party that evening. And I was like, let's go. And my boyfriend's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And then I get there, and I'm fine for, like, an hour. And then after that, like, all of my energy is gone from my body, and I'm like, it's time to go. And then I was fucked up for Sunday. And then I was out again from work on Monday. And I was like, nope. And I slept so much. Saturday screwed me up because I was out of work Thursday, Friday, had to perform Saturday, jacked up for Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what's the most recent thing you've gotten completed with your writing?
On my own or just writing in general?
In general, whatever.
Because in general, the thing is when I work with my writing partner, Travis, We will literally, from concept to finished script, 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's two of us bouncing ideas off each other, and we're writing, and we're working in Google Docs so we can share the doc and, you know, play off each other and stuff like that. But it's, I mean, all that stuff's really short. We're talking anywhere from like 1 to 3 minute scripts. They're really easy. And we punched out two today.
Awesome.
So, I mean, I know I sound like I never get anything done, but I am literally getting stuff done on the daily, you know?
Yep.
And I
know how you feel. It's like my season two, because I write the Flash Fiction on Flash Fiction series on Radio Hour, not Radio Hour, but on IABD Presents that hosts Radio Hour. And my series three premiere came out today. Mm-hmm. And my second book came out today. So I'm like, see, I get shit done. Things happen. So, yay.
Do you want to promote your book now?
Sure. I will always take a moment.
You have like two people listening that who might want to read your stuff.
And the two people, it's only $2 for the ebook because that's all that there is right now. But they season one and season two are both available. They're $2 each. I'm not going to put out a compilation until after season three is out. And then because then it'd only be like 60 pages and I want it to be a good like – something, you know, something a little thicker.
So like 100 pages.
Yeah. something a little more substantial. But season one and season two of Stark Story Snacks, which is what my series is called, because my last name is Stark and it's funny. So, so Stark Story Snacks season one and two is available on Amazon. So if you go to either Amazon and just look it up, or you can buy it through IABD Presents, IABDpresents.com and go down to the shop button and click on that. It'll take you to our Amazon portal. So you can shop through us and we get a little bit of portion, you know, to help feed back into our business. So that's always helpful. Yeah, so go buy it. The ebooks are $2 and also buy it's all been written collections. Those are our short story contest collections. And if you are a writer, the third short story contest is open and available right now. It's all available for submission. So go do that.
And Samantha will be forever grateful and she will, think of you fondly.
I will. Please go buy my book and tell me I'm awesome and leave reviews because reviews is what helps us get our names out there. And I need validation.
There
only
it is.
Two people read my stuff, and they're very nice people.
Someone please read my stuff and tell me I'm great.
Please. And go to Stark Story Snacks on iabdpresents.com and read season three that premieres today, and that will be free for the next year. Everyone comes out weekly, so every week there's a new one, and then the whole series will be able to be read for the rest of the year for free.
Okay, Criminy, we get it. You wrote some stuff.
I'm so behind, though. I only have 5 of the 8 stories that I was supposed to. I've got the other 3 started, but I'm like, shoot, okay, I have 5 weeks to finish those. I have 2 weeks to finish 3 6-page sketches for Radio Hour, and I'm like, oh, God. So I'm just trying to get so much done, and then I have to start writing for the web series, and then I'm also writing stuff for myself that is not in conjunction with anyone else, and that's the one that really gets pushed to the back end.
So here's the thing for me. Like, I've got a couple ideas for what I think could be really good book series.
Yeah.
I have not written word one. And here's why. It all started with writing fan fiction. I started writing fan fiction just to see if I could do it. Just to see if I could come up with a story.
What did you write fan fiction about?
I forget. But it was a good test, and I learned a lot doing it about, you know, what it takes to write a decent story. And to my complete shock, I got like some pretty good reviews, like people giving me, you know, they like the story and stuff. But what I found more important was interacting with readers who didn't like the story.
Okay.
I found that really interesting because I was able to, and I got a lot of hate hate stuff, just people just wanting to hate everything. But the ones that I enjoyed the most were interacting with the people who didn't like the story, but were willing to talk to me and tell me why they didn't like it. And that really helped me become a better writer. So as I wrote more fan fiction, I progressively got better.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the people who didn't like it, because it was like, then I could, you know, have a nice dialogue with people who were like, well, why do you do this and not this? And I would explain my motivation for, you know, the story going that way. And a lot of times I turned people's minds around and they gave the story a second shot, and they actually would come back and say, hey, I really liked it. I know we disagreed about this, but, you know, once I've read the, and see, that's the thing with fan fiction is, places that post it, you post it a chapter at a time. So unless you've got the story fully done and post it all at once, people are kind of following along as you are writing. So they don't get the privilege to know the whole story like you do in your head as you're writing it down. So it was really interesting. And some of my work actually changed because of talking with readers.
Well, you need – the feedback sessions are so important. You know, like my editor, I feel so bad for him. Do you have like one specific issue in your writing that you just can't get right no matter how much you try?
I have many issues.
Well, what would you say is the one that's most consistent?
Consistency. I'm not even joking.
No.
When I write, I make copious notes for myself before I start a story.
Yeah.
And it's, here's all the characters, here's blah, 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 blah. Then I'll write, but I won't have those notes out. So character names change. Or in one case, a character had died. It was just a really, really, really minor character. A couple chapters later, that character was alive.
I don't know what's happening.
I got called out on it a lot, and I was just too – and it's still up somewhere, and it's like I'm just way too lazy to go back and change – all I have to do is change a name. But it's like it's done. I'm over. I think my number one problem is staying consistent with my notes and my outline when it actually comes to the writing. And this brings me on to one of the reasons I have not yet sat down to write an actual story, which I have a really good idea for one that I think would be kind of a cool suspense thriller horror kind of thing. But it's that I will take just tons of notes, and I've got the story like plotted out. I can see it as a movie in my head.
Yeah.
But I know if I sat down and started writing, I would just screw it all up. And I think that's – it sounds like a lame excuse, and it really kind of is. But it's just like I love the idea of the story so much that I'm afraid that if I actually write it, it will never live up to what I see. Does that make sense?
It does. that's one thing that I see a lot is there's a lot of new authors that will write these huge world – things, but their writing chops are not up to speed to take that on.
Yeah.
One example I can think of, and it's not that it was a bad book or anything, I just don't think that maybe he should have sat on it for a little longer. Mm-hmm. Have you read Bird Box?
Is that the Netflix thing?
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah, I haven't read it, but
the book was okay.
Uh-huh.
The movie was just okay.
Well, it was good enough to get a movie.
That's not saying a lot nowadays. You know that. 50 Shades has multiple movies, and those are crap.
Well, what have you written that's gotten a movie, Samantha?
Nothing. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
That's because my writing chops are not up to that level yet.
So your writing chops are not ever, even up to mediocre level to get a mediocre movie.
No, but you know what? I do have a short film and a play being written off of my work, so.
See, there you go.
Ah.
See, you're already like 5 steps ahead of me. In that you've actually written original work. I have yet to do that.
Well, and I mean, the book was, I mean, it was obviously the book was good enough to, you know, got published. It was wildly successful. It was super popular. Yeah. But I think that if he sat on it for just a little longer, got some other things out, it could have been even better. You know, like I could predict the whole thing, but, you know, it's just...
See, I'm wondering if that's a writer thing. Like, if you're reading someone's work and as a writer, I think writers might tend to be able to predict stuff better than, you know... You know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe, yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying. But
like,
I mean,
I've seen enough movies that...
I don't know. I think in the creative world now, the concepts are so much better than the execution. And you see that in movies, too. Like, the concept of this said movie was so much better than the execution. And, like, it could have been really cool. And we say that all the time about movies. Well, it could have been cool, but... And it, the same thing goes for books. And I'm sure I have stuff where it's like, the concepts are cool, but... Girl, you're not the one that needs to write this. So who knows? I mean,
and
it's all subjective, too.
And that's another one of my things about, you know, I talk myself out of writing stuff more than I talk myself into.
My boyfriend does that, too.
You know, and it's just like, you said, like, the concept is great. And like I said, I have a fantastic concept for what I believe could be a really epic, not just one book, but a series of books. I see it as a series. But it's like I said, this will never live up to what it is in my head.
Well, you don't know that until you get it on the paper.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's a way of procrastinating, sitting down and writing that story and seeing it through. Because it's like, it's easier to give up than it is to commit and write. And
I hate
that I do that to myself.
That's the one thing that drives me nuts about my boyfriend. He does the same thing, and he's such a talented person, but he's just like, well, this has been done, or someone's already done this. And I was like, oh my gosh, because that's how he talks himself out of it.
Yeah.
Someone else has already done this. No one will want me to do it. And I was like, okay, here's the thing. We're all individuals. This concept might have been taken on before, but it has never been taken on by you.
Yeah.
And you could probably take it in entirely different directions. So what if the concepts are similar? Your story is going to be yours, and you will have a following for it. There's something for everyone.
And see, it's funny because, like I said, the concept I have, I've never heard of it.
And you don't want to say it, do you?
No, I really don't.
You don't have to.
I'll tell you what, I will tell you when the show's over and when we're off the air, I will tell you.
I get to know. Actually, we may have talked about it before.
It's possible, yeah. I've talked about it with a few people, and everyone I've ever talked to about it loves the idea. But yeah, it's one of those things that's like, it could be really good, you know, but...
Do you fear success?
Do I fear success?
Yeah.
You know, probably a little bit. You know?
Yeah, that's
see,
a
the
big
other
thing for my boyfriend, too.
The other thing is, too, and I have no idea how I would go about – and I think this is another one of my problems is I think too far ahead. Because it's like, okay, I haven't even started writing it. How would I get it published? Who would I send it to?
Yeah.
And it's like I should not even be remotely worried
not
about that stuff until the story is written.
Yep, shouldn't even be a concern yet.
But it's like, I mean, that's, again, another way I talk myself out of even doing it, because it's so much easier to go, well, I don't know how to get it published or do any of that, so I'm not even going to bother with it. And it's such a cop-out.
It is.
And even because I like writing. I really thoroughly enjoyed the process of writing fan fiction. And, again, it helped me come up with the concept for the story that I have, and enough that I actually did a little bit of research. And here's the other thing. I would have to do tons of research for this. I could make up just tons of it, but because it is based on some reality, or in a sort of a real known foundation, like I would have to do some serious research to have that authenticity, so it doesn't feel like, you know, there's no way that this could not be.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, I don't think it, I probably have to do far less research than I'm letting on.
Yeah, again, it's part of the procrastination triggers.
It really is. It's like
I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's any possible excuse I can latch onto and hold onto so tightly to avoid doing the work that I know that I'll enjoy. And when it's all done, I will probably, even if I'm the only one to read it, I will enjoy it.
Right. Like, I know that my books don't sell a whole lot right now. I mean, we're a startup. No one really knows about us. And, you know, I and without a lot of reviews or people reviewing your stuff, it's not going to get recommended. So you need that backup. But I'm like, fuck, I've put out books.
Yeah.
I have short stories in collections that are actual physical books. Like, I've done what I want to do. I'm doing what I want to do. And sure, I could sell a million copies, but if that's not my ultimate goal, my ultimate goal is to just complete it.
Yeah.
And be satisfied with that. And I'm so happy that it's out there. And whether people hate it or love it or just go, okay, you know, that's all par for the course.
Yeah, I think I just need to, I mean, I really need to, I have to break it down and take it a step at a time. And step one, write chapter one. Just write a bare bones chapter one that I can go back and flesh out. And that's getting something down.
Something that I took from my editor, who is an author, he has books out. Something that I took from him that gratefully helped me, because this is where I used to get stuck, and this is where Ryan still gets stuck, sounds like this is where you're getting stuck, is you want it to be perfect the first time. And you'll write a little bit and then go back and make it perfect. No, don't do any of that. Just get it all out, no matter how messy it is. That's what your first draft is for. Mm-hmm. Get it all out of your head. Because if you perfect that first chapter, you're just elongating the process, and you're going to screw yourself for later things. Because you're already dead set on this thing. You're not going to let anything flow.
See, I think that's where the miscommunication comes. Because I never shoot for perfection. I know how messy of a writer I am. So what I generally do is I will write a bare bones chapter. I will get from point A to point B where I want in the chapter. And then I will go back and flesh it out and fatten it up so there's more story. So when I go on to chapter two, I have a really good jumping off point. And then chapter two is the same thing. It's like, okay, by the end of this chapter, I need to reach this point. So each chapter kind of starts out like an outline of the chapter. And then I go through and I thicken it up. I give it more story.
Okay.
You know?
Do you think of your endings in the beginning?
Endings always happen when I come up with the concept. Because when I come up with the concept, it's like, okay, where does the story end? Because that's how I figure out the journey. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, so I have this concept, and these are the things I want to happen, so how's it going to end? What's going to be the resolution to the whole thing? Oh, okay, that's good, and then I'll do this, and I'll have that. And it's like, okay, now I have a finishing point, so how do I get all these characters that I'm introducing from here to here? And what are some things I want to throw in their way to make sure it's not a seamless journey? Because every journey has to have road bumps. You have to have the potholes and crap to kind of sidetrack them a little bit so they grow as characters. So when you do get to the ending, it leaves the reader with a sense of fulfillment. It's like, wow, these characters have grown and so have I for reading this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, yeah, I like to have my ending in my head. It doesn't always happen, especially with, like, writing all the flash fictions, because flash fiction is technically 1,000 words or less.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I do for IABD. And those are the books I have out, are my flash fiction collections. A short story is anywhere between 1,000 to, what, 13,000 to 15,000 words?
I don't know. So, you're a writer, not me.
Well, I mean, anywhere in there. Like, there's a... It's just... Because you have flash fiction, you have short story, novelettes, novellas, novels. So, and they all have different word counts that, well, technically, quote-unquote technically, qualify as what it is within that spectrum. Mm-hmm. So sometimes with the flash fictions, I don't know where my ending is, but if I'm writing something bigger, like I'm submitting for our contest, this will be my third year submitting for it, I typically know my ending ahead of time. And like my very first one called Venus, I knew the ending. I knew the end. I knew what I wanted. I was like, holy shit, how am I going to get there? I was so excited to get to the end. And just putting everything. So I kind of, like you say, you know, how are you going to get them to that ending?
Yeah.
And so it's sort of reverse engineering it to make sure that everything you put in their way leads to that ending.
And I feel like this is not, you know, we're not stumbling on some newfangled way of
writing.
I feel like most writers worth their salt, when they come up with a story, one of the first things they come up with after the idea is, how is it going to end?
Well, not always. I think it's Stephen King who's just like, I don't know, I just let them tell me how to do it. I just let my characters tell me how it's going to end.
But see, I think somewhere subconsciously he roughly knows where the characters are going to end up.
But that's not always where
you're going
to end
up. Even if he doesn't know the ending of the story, he knows where he wants the characters to end up.
You know, I'm trying to remember what he said, because I think it was in his book On Writing that he talks about his process. Mm-hmm. I'd have to read it again. It's been a while. But, I mean, you know, not everyone works differently.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if I could really get through something without knowing, having a clear vision of the end. But that's just me.
No, you're right. Everyone's different. Everyone has their own process that works for them. You know, and this is, you know, this is the process that works for me. I like knowing roughly. And, you know, honestly, it's happened to me a couple of times where I've written something and I had the ending in mind. But halfway through the story, I was like, that ending I have is not going to work for the way the story is progressing.
I've done that, too.
And so, but the thing is I would keep writing with no idea what the ending was going to be.
Yep.
Or how it was going to resolve, you know, the major conflict. It's happened so many times, and it's like, I'm always like, how did I come up with that ending? I've actually written, there's one story that I wrote that I didn't know what the ending was going to be until the ending.
Yeah, I've been there.
And even then, like, the whole time I was writing, I was questioning it. It's like, is this the way I want to go? Is this how I want this to end? And when it was done, I was like, I guess that's how I'm going to end it. And to be honest, it's the only story that of mine that I've ever written that I'm like, I should go back and change that. My original concept was much better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like through the writing process, it started not making sense. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's when I did the Stephen King route.
Yeah. Well, guys, I guess we'll figure it out from here.
This doesn't work.
Which can be fun, too. I mean, which can be fun. And sometimes I'll sit down and just start writing words, and I'm like, I have no fucking idea where this is going. My poor boyfriend is such a perfectionist. He wants to have the first draft be the final. And I keep telling him, just let it be messy. Just let it be messy, and then go fix it. That's what it's for. You know, nothing's ever going to be perfect.
No.
It was Quentin Tarantino that had said that. Like, your final product is never going to be perfect. So, who cares? Just...
No, look at George Lucas. He hated the original Star Wars so much, he went back and redid it with the special edition. That didn't work, so he wrote a whole new trilogy, and that failed. So sometimes you may hate your product, but other people may love it, and
right.
You know,
or vice versa. You love your product, and everyone hates it.
Yeah, they think you suck, and maybe they're right. and you never write anything again. And that's what you always use to procrastinate. It's like, oh, I'm no good. I'm talking about a friend of mine.
Man, I didn't write for years because I was discouraged away from creativity. And all I used to do, I have notebooks and notebooks full of poems and stories and concepts. And
oh, yeah, somewhere I've got a book of concepts. I've got a really fun concept that... And I'll share this because I don't give a fuck. I think it's actually been done. But I got inspired by the guy who wrote... and he got in trouble. He wrote this sort of biography. It was on Oprah. You remember? And then it turned out like his biography was complete bullshit.
I don't remember that.
Okay, so there's this guy. He wrote this amazing book about his life, quote unquote. And he got, like, on all the talk shows, and he got on Oprah and all this stuff, and then it come to find out that it was completely made up. It was all bullshit.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I kind of like the idea of writing a story that's completely made up. So I ended up, and I thought of, well, wouldn't it be cool to write the biography of a band that's never existed?
Yeah.
And I actually have, like, 3 chapters written.
I like that.
Of this band. And it's from 3 of the main members of the band. And each chapter is from a different band member's point of view. So the first chapters are basically introducing each character and talking about what led to their meeting and starting this band. And I've got, like, a very long outline of all the chapters and the whole band's history. And leading up to, like, they were kind of a mediocre band, but then, like, all this bad stuff happened, and 2 of the members, because originally the band was a 5-piece, 2 of the members, one of them just quit, and the other one went to jail. And the 3 remaining members went on and had this amazing career.
Awesome.
And someday I should finish that book.
You should, absolutely.
But yeah, it's like, and it's like all the ups and downs of the music industry. These, like, I had everything, and how they overcame it, and how they got screwed and sued, and they countersued, and I love the idea of this band that's like, they made good music, and they were good enough to get signed, but they were never like a huge success. Until they lost essentially the dead weight.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show, like, their first tours, their first 2 album tours, that they had this great material, but because of these other 2 members and their influences, it wasn't as good as it could have been. And they would go out on, you know, opening for really big acts and just all the debauchery and stuff that went on, and how when those 2 members left, the rest of the band kind of took a step back and said, well, why are we doing all this self-destructive behavior? And why are we doing all this stuff? And they kind of like go on this journey of self-discovery, and they release an album that is like game-changing, not just for them as a band, but for like the music industry at large, because they do it all themselves and they fight the record company the whole time. Making this is like, no, we promise if you just back off, we're going to put together the greatest album ever seen. And
yeah.
And it's like true to their word. This album comes out and it's like, it takes the world by storm. It's like, what is this? And it's this band that if you go 1 album back, it's like, no, how did they do this? Cause they were garbage just 2 years ago. And then it's like, from there, it's like all the success they get and how suddenly that success becomes problematic and they kind of start losing their way. And then again, after a couple more albums, they go, no, we have to get back to what made us great. And we have to get rid of all this bullshit. And I watched Bohemian Rhapsody, and
I haven't seen that yet. I can't wait to watch it though.
I've watched other biopics like this, and it's the same story. It's like when they start getting famous, and all these other people start coming in and start whispering and stuff, and it essentially breaks the band apart, you know? And I kind of wanted to show that, but I wanted to show that the strength of the three main members was so strong, that bond was so strong that they were able to, before it got too bad, go, you know what? We've got to get rid of all this outside stuff, because when we were at our best, it was the three of us running our career.
Yeah.
It was the three of us with our direction. So, again, if I could find a reason not to procrastinate, I think it would be a really fun book to read. And that's one I always thought, like, if I did, I would just give to my friends. Just because I think it was, like, I don't think it would be, like, that big a deal, but I think my friends and family would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, there's so much of me in that. So, but, yeah, the other story I have, I honestly think if I actually wrote it and got it all together, it could be something big. But I'm... Oh, look, YouTube.
Oh, shiny. Hello, cute sweet puppy. Come here and snuggle with me.
I'm just the worst.
Oh, man, I'm right there with you. It's terrible.
It really is to be.
And then if I'm super motivated, everyone else is not. And I'm like, damn it! Can we all just get on the same fucking page?
You sons of bitches!
The Radio Hour sketches, so we perform at Mad Lab Theater, and every year, they have one of the longest running festivals in Columbus, it's their shorts festival, mm-hmm. So they have a bunch of short plays and stuff like that, so to honor the shorts festival, we're doing, our Radio Hour show for March is going to be a bunch of shorts, so we can fit like 9 shorts into our time slot, which is usually, you know, about an hour and a half. We've got we do four main sketches, which when they go out in podcast form is about 18 to 23 minutes. Sometimes 15. I think that's the shortest one. And then we do 3 short commercials, which, you know, run anywhere from 30 seconds to 2 minutes. So we're going to have a bunch of shorts, and I'm like, yes, I'm so excited because I tend to write short and I am very like to the point and I have a hard time elongating things. So
that's funny. Cause I'm completely the opposite. I tend
to I'm not long-winded. My friend Nick is long-winded and he always tells me, he's like, I wish I had brevity like you. And I'm like, I wish I had more long-windedness like you. So, like, if we could mesh ourselves together, we'd be the perfect writer. Because I don't have the same script writing programs that they do. So when my stuff, it's like the last sketch I wrote, a full sketch is about 13 pages. Uh-huh. I was like, 11 pages, yes. And I didn't have any stage direction or anything in it. I'm terrible at entering that stuff. I don't know why. But I was like, 11 pages, and my friend put it into their program. It shrunk it down to 6 pages. And I was like, oh, my God.
No!
I was so mad. I was like, why? So
it's 11 pages, I swear.
Yeah, I was like, come on, man. So it just shrunk it down to, like, 6 pages. Like, shit. And it's just so much. I'm like, how do you do this? I'm terrible at this. So I think I just need to bite the bullet and download the program because it costs a lot of money. Actually, I think Ryan has a second license for it.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's do that.
You know, we got to nothing we were going to talk about today.
Nope.
So we procrastinated on that.
This is a good topic, though, because I think a lot of people can relate to it.
No, I think there's a lot of creative people out there that have the same problem we do, and it's just it really is. It's not even laziness. It's just talking yourself out of doing something that you want to do because you don't think it'll be good. And honestly, and I struggle with this every time, and it's honestly you just have to make the time and do it. And it may be garbage, but the thing is, it's just a draft. You can go back and do it again and make it better.
Yep. And always keep in mind that not everything people create is for everyone.
Yep.
You will find your tribe. You will find your followers. You will find people, or they will find you is really, you know, your people will find you. And sometimes you have to be patient. Like, you know, they talk about artists being ahead of their time. Exactly. Yeah. You know, like You might put out a book, and then 20 years later, that's when it finds its grip. You just don't know. Just put it out for you, not for everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my thing. I write for myself. If I enjoy it, yep, that's all that matters. I write for me. You know, I'm the one who's going to read it and reread it. And if so long as I enjoy it, then I did a good job.
Yep.
You know?
I mean, I've been super fortunate that I have a platform to put my stuff on and that I have, you know, a couple people that are just super supportive of me writing. Like Ryan reads just about everything that I write. Stephen King says you should have an ideal reader, you know, like someone who is your niche market.
Yep.
And have them, you know, be your proofreader, even before it goes into editing, you know, just what do you think? Ryan has ultimately become my, you know, because his wife is his, Tabitha, and Ryan has pretty much become my ideal reader. Even though he's not super, he's not 100% my ideal, but he's close enough. And he knows me and my style well enough that I'm like, I'm comfortable with his feedback. So, and then my editor gives me feedback, and I've been very fortunate to have that.
There's also the added bonus of the fact that he's there.
Yes.
Hey, you're not doing anything. Read this.
Hey, you need to procrastinate too. Here, read this. That's pretty much it. And because I'm doing the Flash Fiction series, it's super easy to read. Everything's less than 2 pages.
See, bonuses all around.
Yep.
Well, I think we should call it. That's another episode of Not Another Podcast.
Not Another Procrastinate.
Hopefully you learn new and fascinating ways to procrastinate and keep you from doing the things you don't really want to do.
Head to Not Another Podcast on Facebook and tell us how you procrastinate. By going to Not Another Podcast on Facebook. That's how you're procrastinating.
Yeah, and then while you're on the inner tubes, check out this channel called YouTube and look up cat videos. Or, you know, if you really want to horrify yourself, look up spider videos or surgery videos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's this. Okay, there's. I was just introduced to this brand new channel called Ants Canada.
Ants Canada. Okay, what is Ants Canada?
This guy has all these terrariums of different types of ants, and he edits it like this big, and he films and edits every episode like it's this big drama, and it's so good. It's so good, I'm not even kidding. Ants Canada, check
Ants
it out.
I'm going to check it out right now.
Please
and
do.
Because I'm going to go check it out, we are going to say goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.